Savazir was chafal if we did when we learned. We learned Yodalit. We did Yodalit with chafal and chaf gimel. So now we're really up to os chaf base. It's a very short piece, and it's very permdic. Rak mi shiachol lahafkir lahashlich es daagosav al shah al kolpanim. Only a person who's able to throw away his worries, at least for a short period of time, yachol gam berucho v'neshmaso lidlog al hashah al shah el matzav hagadol mimenu. Only a person who is able to throw away his worries, at least temporarily, is able to raise himself up, to leap ahead in madregos to a greater matzav, to a greater position or situation in life, at least for a period of time. A person who's worried, a person who has daigos, it holds a person back. It stops a person from being able to reach new levels and to reach new heights. Va'af im nofel achar kach shuv l'matzav ha'kodem. And even if that person who lifted himself up shortly thereafter falls back down, yakel lo lifamim lavo achar kach gam b'chol atzmuso el matzav ha'gadol mimenu l'iskayim bo. It becomes easier the next time, since he was able to let go of his fear. I don't know, can I reach such a level? Can I not reach such a level? When he allows himself to let go and to experience a loftier level, even if afterwards he's not able to be Makayim, he's not able to uphold that level, but at least he got a taste of it. And then it's easier for him in the future to come back to that level and to actually be able to maintain that level. Part of what we're achieving on Purim is that we're allowing ourselves, without any of the inhibitions, we allow ourselves to sometimes be very real with ourselves, very true with ourselves, to let go of certain things that might be holding us back, to reach new heights. And even though, like we said yesterday in Shir, the piece from Rav Hutner, we mentioned that you come crashing down at the end of Purim, it's not realistic to maintain the Madrega of Purim, the Simcha of Purim, the level of Purim throughout the year, and that's the Metzius. But still, you get a taste of yourself, maybe on Purim, in a different way, that a person's able to then pursue it in a way that's more realistic. The same way that when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they jumped. Pesach, Milashon Dilug, they jumped out of Mitzrayim from the 49th level of Tumah. They jumped to great heights, even though it was unsustainable. But then slowly, they began to work on it, because now they got a taste of what it could be. The same way at the Leil HaSeder, we get a taste of an unbelievable aur, and then we spend the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer trying to slowly absorb that light in a methodical and step-by-step fashion. So at least if I'm willing to let go a little bit, if I'm not so worried, I'm not so anxious about it, but if I'm willing to let go of whatever worries I have, whatever's holding me back in this world, then I'm able to soar to new heights. There's a Vart they say b'shem the Rebbe Reb Melech. Melmeli Melech said that when Mashiach comes, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to carry you on the wings of eagles. But the Rebbe Reb Melech said that when Hashem carries you on the wings of eagles, if you have too much baggage, you're going to fall off. If you're carrying too many things, you're going to fall off. So I think he said it really in terms of like Gashmias. If you think you're going to take your nice house from America with you to Eretz Yisrael, right, then that's not going to work. Then Geula is not going to be realistic for you. But again, it's the same Yisod. If a person's not willing to let go of wherever he's holding and allow himself to rise up because he's worried, sometimes it's a perception, what will others think of me if I get too from? What will people say about me if they see I'm always focusing on my ruchnias? Right? But a person has to be prepared to let go. Whatever daigos, whether it's fear in gashmias, I don't know if I can live a happy life if I don't have X, Y, or Z. If a person's not willing to let go, he'll never rise up. If he at least lets go, he can rise up. And even if he falls back down, says the Piazetzer, he'll be able, hopefully, to get a taste of it, and he'll be able to return to it again at some future time and be Mekayim, and again, be able to uphold that level. Lo kein misha kol kach kosher legufa. Not so the person who is so deeply attached to his body, he's scared to let go of his body, of himself, in that sense. At she'edu yachol ahashlich es da'agosav gam al-sha. He's not able to let go of his worries even for a moment. It becomes impossible, or at least very difficult, for him to raise up his neshama and his spirit to that which is above him. He's not able to elevate himself, he's not able to grow. Neither ba'aliyah v'diluk. Neither ba'aliyah being the gradual process of step-by-step growth. And dilug, again, that leaping, where a person takes those quantum leaps to move forward at a pace that's not shayach, and it's not realistic to where you're holding. But again, if I don't let go, then I can't move at all. I get stuck in my place. I have to be prepared to let go of daiga in order to be able to grow. Okay, so let's take a look. I want to start with a piece of Torah from the Nahari Eish. The Nahari Eish, Rav Shimon Zalachover, Rav Avram Shimon Halevi Horowitz from Zalachov. If you don't know what he looks like, so just look at our wall. He's the Jew on the right. The left is the Shem Yishmuel. The Jew on the right is Rav Shimon Zalachov. Rav Shimon Zalachover was somewhat of a mashkiach in Chachmei Lublin. A very interesting, a very powerful, and a very charismatic Rebbe. And he thought differently, and he writes differently. And he writes, in Maimer Yud Beis of a sefer called Adam Yisrael, Adam Yisraeli, he writes the following. Ha'adam Yisraeli ain lo lidog lis'atzev klal. A Jew should never be in a state of daiga. Daiga is deeply related to sadness, as he points out. You shouldn't be sad, you shouldn't be worried. Rav Aaron Carlino used to say that sadness is not one of the 613 mitzvahs per se. You look in the chinuch, you look in the ram, you're not going to see it. You look in the smag, you're not going to see sadness counted as one of the 613. But he said there's nothing that paralyzes a person, and nothing that leads to more averos than sadness, than daigos, than worry. It's really a pagam in a person's emunah and Hashem. It's a pagam in anochi Hashem Elokecha. If I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Hashem created me, and Hashem is involved in my life, then I'm not living my life in a state of daiga. Afilu roa atzmo mushlo mikol or ruchni v'gashmi v'rochak mimanu Yeshua lefi kotzer riyaso be'ez ha'atzif. Even if a person sees that he's far from living in the light of Hashem, in ruchnius, in gashmius, he feels that the salvation is far away, according to the narrowness of his perspective. When he sees himself in that sad situation, still, he has to be miskaber, he has to overcome that sadness, he has to overcome that worry. Hachayitin alibo, halo sof sof chai ani. I love that line. A living person, if you're alive, then you have to at least be able to say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm alive. And what does that mean? What does that indicate? How am I alive? Ya'afilu ba'ofen mitzumtzum ma'od, even if I'm living b'kanda samochen, I'm living in a very situation of narrow straits. I feel trapped, I have worries, I have concerns about my future. But I have to say to myself, but I'm alive. And if I'm alive, mehechan chiyuso amlo, mechay olamim, or chay olamim. Right? If I'm alive, then how am I alive if not for the one who is the source of all chiyus? The melech keol chay olamim, the God who is the source of all life. How can I be alive if not for the fact that Hashem is willing me into existence? Which means Hashem is willing me into this existence, even though my existence right now is very mitzumtzam. Shem lo kein hayisi neder min metzias, because if Hashem didn't want me to exist, even to exist in this painful situation, with all the worries, with all the concerns, with all the fears and all the sadness that comes with it, but if Hashem didn't want me to be alive, I wouldn't be alive. And the fact that I'm alive means Hashem, the master of the world, the source of all life, is willing me into existence. Va'afilu berega zeh, where it's underlined, shani misatzev, hu yisbarach shemo mitzayir osi mikaf regel ad kod kadi. That at this moment in time when I'm so nervous and I'm so anxious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally creating me. Hashem is painting the picture of me from head to toe. Every bit of me is willfully being created at that moment by God. B'yachadim zmanei umakom yishani bo. Hashem knows exactly the time and the circumstance and the place which I find myself. V'chol rega v'rega yachlof ha'avar v'yavo ahova, and a moment passes, and the next moment comes, and I'm still alive, and this is all part of Hashem's plan. V'akol b'ratzon yotzer b'reishis, v'hokei Yisrael b'prat, she'i merchas ha'pnimi b'anhaga, v'ray oz v'chedva v'mkomo sha'anisham. And Hashem rejoices over the fact that I exist, that the master of the universe is willfully creating me at that moment. and Hashem is guiding my existence, and Hashem is okay with it, and therefore, how could I not be okay with it? Top of the left column, v'cheivan shekein, halo ein ha-hester el bimeni, so therefore it must be that the hester panim, the perception of hester panim, of divine concealment, is my own. It's my own problem. I'm not alone. And I don't have to be nervous. I don't have to be worried. Hashem put me in this situation. Hashem didn't only put me in the past tense, Hashem is putting me in this moment, in this situation. If He wanted it to be different, it would be different. So therefore, the hester is my own. Megillas Esther, like we spoke a little bit about yesterday, is about being megala that hester, is about uncovering that hester, is being able to see past the difficulty or the struggle or the sadness or the worry that I find myself in. It's all for me. It's all my perception. Shani ba'atzvas osa klipus avim hamastirim or mimeni. Through my sadness, through my worry, I create dark clouds that separate Hashem from me. Lezos mutav, and therefore I have a choice to make. I might as well attach myself, he says, to Amunah and Hashem. Bevadai. Mechaya tamir akol, the one who's giving life to everything, including me in this situation. Ve'ein amuna amitis shelo ta'aseh hamshacha milamala lamata v'yavo maher elai or sameach. And if I attach myself to Hashem, then there's no question that I'll tap into the oros on high, and some of that or will be funneled, will be channeled into my life, and then amir to Hashem, I won't have sadness and I won't have worry, and I'll feel that I'm living in the presence of Hashem, and those dark clouds will dissipate. There's really nothing to be gained by sadness. It's very irrational. Being worried is very, very... I'm going to talk now practical for a second. Being worried is very irrational. Why? Says the Peleoitz, says Rabbi Eliezer Papo, in his great encyclopedia of Jewish ideas, the Peleoitz, under the entry for sadness, he quotes from the Sefer HaBris. And he says that any person of intellect should not find himself in a situation of sadness. End of the first line, Mimanavshach. Because either way you slice it, it's irrational. Ki lo yimna meyos ha'atzvus, el al echad mishtayim. O al davar sheyesh lo takana, o al davar sheein lo takana. What am I sad about? I'm sad either about something that I can fix, or I'm sad about something that I can't fix, right? Every situation in life either can get fixed or it can't get fixed. So he says, Mimanavshach. Im yesh lo takana, where it's bolded, mali lisatzev. If I can fix my situation, so what is? How does being sad help? So fix your situation. Do what it takes. Take the achrayas to fix, to better your situation. Yaseh takana v'yinatzel. Vim ein takana. And if it's truly beyond my control, if my sadness is generated by something that I can't fix, that I can't undo, that there's no way to rectify the reality, so then ma betza kiyasatzev. So then again, what is gained by being sad? It just stops me from moving forward. It stops me from reaching new madrigos, like the Piazetzer is talking about. And of course, he references one of the greatest, most powerful, strong examples of this, is when David HaMelech, in Sefer Shmuel Beis, when David HaMelech's son passes away, and David HaMelech picks himself up, and he dusts himself off, and he no longer is fasting, and he goes to take a bath, and he says, as the Pasuk says in the last line here, Aruchah la'shiva od. They say to him, I don't understand. When the baby was still alive, you were crying in the morning. Now that the baby's dead, you move on. And he says, yes, because now this is reality. And I have to face that reality. Can I bring him back from the dead? Is there anything I can do? Ani holei cheilav v'hu lo yeshuv elai. One day down the road, I'll meet up with him, but he's not going to meet up with me. And therefore, sitting here and worrying about it and being saddened by it is irrational. Ah, there's a concept of avelus, of course, because we need to absorb the loss, we need to absorb the blow. But there's also a halacha that at the end of avelus, you pick yourself up and you go weiter. A Jew has to be able to pick himself up and to move forward. Now, like I said, this is a big inyan on Purim. We have about 24 minutes till the mashpia gets here. I'm going to try to develop something. I hope you'll enjoy it. I hope I'll give it over clearly. Let's look at source 4 for a second. Pasuk that we're all familiar with. Pasuk says, Hashem malach eus lavish. Hashem girds himself. Hashem wears the garment of gaiva. Hashem wears gaiva. Hashem wears pride. A malik, we know, is very interested in gaiva. A malik is gematria ram, 240. Pasuk says, v'ram, if a person lifts up, a person is haughty, person elevates his heart, v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha, he comes to forget God. Amalek is the one who's always the embodiment of gaiva, of a certain chutzpah, the first ones to attack Klal Yisrael. But the reality is that Hashem Malach Yus Lavesh, that Hashem is the one who truly wears the cloak of pride. Lavesh Hashem Oz Yisazar, Af Tikon Tevel Bal Timot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you set up a world that should not fall apart. Bal Timot, it will not falter. The world is able to stand. The world is able to uphold itself. Why? Because Hashem, you're the source. You're the Chayei Olamim. Like we said earlier, you're the source of life. And therefore, when the Amalek of the world comes to attack, I don't have to be worried. When someone else tries to exert itself and to wear that cloak of pride, I don't have to be worried. Because I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu by my side. I heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and that was seared onto my soul, like it says in the Medrash Shir HaShirim, as we mentioned in the past. Baal Timot, Beis and Lamed. Let's think about Beis and Lamed for a second. Hashem, you set up the world Baal Timot. The first letter of the Torah is the Beis of Bereishis. The last letter of the Torah is the Lamed of Leinei Kol Yisrael. So in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to ensure that the world Baal Timot, that the world shouldn't fall apart. That from the Beis of Bereishis through the Lamed of Yisrael, if we have the Torah, then the world Baal Timot, then the world won't fall apart. The world will be able to exist. Aftiko and Tevel, you even established planet Earth, you established the world Baal Timot. That through Baal, the world will Baal Timot. The world, like it says, will not fall apart. But the letter Beis and Lamed, according to the Svarim HaKadoshim, have a different understanding as well. Take a look for a moment at source number 3. This is from Rav Avram Shor's Halakach Valib of Tafshin Samach Beis, Parshas Korach. I've heard Rav Shor say this, so I knew it would be somewhere in the Svarim, and I did a little research and I tracked it down. Rav Shor says, I heard the following idea. Daiga, what the P.S. Esther is talking about, worry, concern, hein arba osios rishonos shala aleph beis, bli beis. Daiga is aleph, gimel, dalid, hey. What letter is missing? The beis is missing. What does beis represent? V'shamati shezel rameis, ki mi sheyesh lo daiga, chaser lo bitachon, shemerumas bo'os beis. That a person who's worried is lacking in beis. He's lacking in bitachon. That beis alludes to bitachon. Okay? Now again, how we know that beis is bitachon? There are sources that we could bring to prove that point. But the word daiga is a person whose life is without the beis. Right? Beis is a bias, it's a foundation, it's a place to call home, it's a sense of security. No one feels as comfortable as when they're in their own home. I was talking to someone in this room last week, right, about what it's like to go home for Shabbos, and when you invite a friend who doesn't live, let's say, in the New York, New Jersey area, for those of us who do, and have the opportunity to go home for Shabbos, right? And you invite your friend over and you say, make yourself comfortable, make yourself at home, but there's still a feeling, this is not my bias. I feel unsettled. This is not my base. This is not my home. I don't have that confidence to do what I want. Even if the guest is so inviting and they give me a space that's comfortable and they're so gracious and they really mean, help yourself. But I don't open the fridge in my friend's home the same way I open it in my own home, even if my friend says, take whatever you want. And he really means it, and it's totally fine. Finish the orange juice. I don't care. You can finish the orange juice. It's really fine. We'll get more orange juice. But it's not the same comfort. You don't have that same comfort. Let's go back to the pasuk now. The pasuk said, Af tikon tevel bal timot. So there's another piece from Rav Shor, and this is in the Halakach Valib of Tafshin Samach Aleph. And he quotes from one of our other Rebbeim, who's also on our wall, the Shem Yishmuel, on the left. The Shem Yishmuel brings B'Shem Avni Nezer. Now the reason I didn't give you the piece inside is because I can't find it in Shem Yishmuel. I can't find this piece. He says it's from the year Tafnun Tes. He says it's quoted in the Shem Yishmuel Parshas Bereishis in the name of his father, the Avni Nezer, but I can't find it in the Sefer. So again, I'll just read it to you from the Sefer. This is Rav Shor, Tafshin Samach Aleph, Halakach Valib. He quotes from the Shem Yishmuel that when Hashem created the world, Hashem Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Adin. What does Af mean? Af Tikon Teva. What does Af mean? What does Af? Even. What else does it mean?
Anger,
wrath. Midas Adin. When Hashem set up the world, He wanted to create a world of Midas Adin. Bereishis Bara Elokim. Elokim is Midas Adin. Hashem wanted to make a very demanding world. That was Hashem's plan, to make a world with af, af tikkun teva. But Hashem understood that the world couldn't exist like that, and Hashem had to be a little bit more inviting. Hashem had to make us feel a little bit more at home in His world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to change, listen, from creating the world with af, to creating the world with the first of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, aleph. Hashem put a lamed into af. Hashem put a lamed into af, and that helps to sustain the world.
What's lamed?
Now, what's the lamed?
30.
What is lamed? The letter lamed. Aleph. Aleph, lamed, pei. You put a lamed into the word af, you get aleph. Aleph, lamed, pei. Aleph. So what is aleph? What does aleph mean? So he says here, when you add the lamed, he says lamed is merames on limud ve'isak ha-Torah. What does the word lamad mean? It means to learn. Right, to study Torah. Shekoach ha-limud Torah u'mavatel ha-af. That when we learn Torah, that counters the af, that counters the intense af of the world, the midas ha-din of the world. Ayin sham bidvarav. Okay. And he says, the truth is that this letter lamed being inserted into the word af, which creates aleph, lamed itself means to learn. What does the word aleph mean? It also means to learn. The word aleph lamed pei, aleph means to learn. Look at the pasuk in Iyov in source number 5. Im ayin ata shemali hacharesh, be silent, va'alefcha chachma, and I will teach you wisdom. So that word, a'alefcha, means to teach or to learn. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create a world of af, of midas ha-din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the only way the world will be able to sustain itself is what? Is if we're somehow able to be mamtik that din with aleph, with lamed, with limud Torah. It allows the world to function in a gentler way. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the lamed into the af to create aleph. Again, lamed itself means to learn, and aleph lamed pei, that shoresh also means, as we see in Eov, it means to learn. Okay, so through limud Torah, we're able to sustain the world, and that's what we saw. Avtikon tevel bal timot. Avtikon tevel bal timot means that from the base of Bereshis to the lamed of Leinei Kol Yisrael, the Torah from beginning to end allows the world to exist. Limud Torah keeps the world alive. Limud Torah gives a person peace of mind. Limud Torah tells me not to worry. But we also said that Beis, right, is Bitachon. And therefore I want to suggest and explain how Lamed is also a letter of Bitachon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting a Lamed into the Af allows a person to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a clarity in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? What does that mean? How does this work? So let's see. First of all, I want to just point out that the word af is a very, if not the most, it's one of the most frightening and destructive words in all of Tanakh. There's a medrash that says that there were four people who used af with the most malicious of intent. Now, the word af appears more than four times in Tanakh, but the medrash says there are four who used af, and af is a very, very, very dangerous word. That's why af, you can see I wrote it down for you between sources 5 and 6, has the same gematria as the word Anochi. The first word we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I exist, believe in me, live with me, and the way we live with Him again is through the Limud HaTorah. But Hashem is saying Anochi, that's the foundation of our Emunah and Bitachon. But we pointed out once, from Shlomo Zviler, that the Aleph and Beis of a Yid is Emunah and Bitachon. Right? So therefore, zelu mazeh, the opposite of anochi Hashem Elokecha, is af. Af is very scary. Af is very, very threatening. It's not by chance, therefore. Skip ahead for a second. Look at source number 8 and look at source number 9. It's not by chance, therefore, that when that Medrash describes, when the Yalkut Shimoni says that there were four who used af with very malicious intent, I want to talk about two of them. What was the first word the Nachash ever said? The Nachash says to Chava, the beginning of Parak Gimel of Bereishis, Vayomer Eliisha, Af ki Amar Elokim, Lo Sochlu Mikol Eitz Hagan, even though Hashem said don't eat from the tree, but go eat from the tree. Af is Gematria Anochi. the Nachash, which is the antithesis of Elokus in this world, the one who wants to cause Adam and Chava to give up everything, the Nachash begins his seduction with the word Af. Okay? One of the reincarnations of the Nachash in time is Haman. Haman, the Svarim say, is the Nachash reincarnate. And therefore, it doesn't surprise us at all that Haman also, in his desire and his plan to destroy the Jews and his hatred for the Jews, and again, the Medrash says these are two of the four who used Af in a very destructive way. The Nachash used Af. It's the first thing he ever said. The same way the first thing Hashem ever said is Anochi. Same gematria as Af. But it says in Megillas Esther, in the fifth parak, Vayomer Haman, source number 9, Af lo hevia Esther hamalka imamelech elamishta asher asa kimosi v'gav lamachar ani karo la imamelech v'chol ze einenu shovali b'chol eis asher ani roes Mordechai Yehudi Yoshe b'shar melech. Even though Esther invited me to have a private meal with her and the king, but what? But when Mordechai is sitting at the gate and refuses to bow down to me, I have to destroy these Jews. So you see that Af also is being used by Haman in the context of his absolute hatred, his hatred for the Jewish people. Okay, so Af is a very, very threatening and dangerous word. How do we get rid of the Af? How do we uproot the Af? So we said, we add the Lamed, which means Lima Torah. Certainly Purim is a time of Kabbalah Satorah. Kimu v'kibla Yehud, and we re-accepted the Torah. That's certainly a part of defeating Haman. But if you go back now to source number 6, at the source number 7, maybe Lamed means something else. Maybe Lamed also means Bitachon. How does Lamed mean Bitachon? We said Beis and Lamed mean Torah. The Beis of Bereishis through the Lamed of Lein Kol Yisrael. Beis and Lamed are the bookends of the Torah. But we said Beis, Rav Shor told us, is the missing letter in Daiga. Beis is Bitachon. Is Lamed also a letter of Bitachon? And the answer is yes. The Gemara in Chagiga on source number 6 tells us, on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ayei Sofer Es HaMigdalim, Shayushonin Gimel Meos Halachos B'Migdal HaPorech Ba'avir. The Gemara says that Doeg and Achitofel discussed, they taught 300 halachos about a migdal, about a tower that's poreach ba'avir, that flies in the sky. A tower that's hovering in the sky. What on earth does that mean? Ba'amar bi'ami, tlos mea ba'i, ba'u doeg v'achitofel, b'migdal poreach ba'avir. Interesting, there's a person in Tanakh whose name is Doeg. That's an interesting name, no? Daiga, Doeg. And what did Doeg do? The warrior, what did Doeg do? He had 300 questions about a migdal that's porech ba'avir. About a tower that's hovering in the sky. What's a tower that's hovering in the sky? So Rashi has a few pshatim there in Chagiga. One pshat, Rashi says, is that the tower that's hovering in the sky is the letter Lamed. The letter Lamed is built, right? The letter Lamed being one of the tallest, if not the tallest letter. The letter Lamed has its upper part in the sky, reaching to the highest point that any Hebrew letter reaches to. The tower of the Lamed. Doeg, Milashon Daiga, had 300 questions about the Lamed. Very cryptic Gemara. But if Lamed means Bitachon, then it makes sense that the Doeg, the one who has Daiga, would have a lot of questions about the letter Lamed. He'd have a lot of questions because he's lacking Bitachon. He's lacking a clarity. So he has questions about the tower that's hovering in the sky. He has questions in those moments in life when you feel like your feet are not on the ground, when you're dangling and you feel like I'm not standing on my own two feet, that I don't have my own raglayim. Right? And I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I feel shaken, or do I feel that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace when I don't have my feet on the ground? Where do you see that Lamed is Bitachon? Again, Doeg has a lot of questions on the Lamed. Says the Navi Yeshaya, a very famous pasuk in source number 7, Bitru ba'Hashem ade ad, ki beka Hashem tzur olam. In the Kisvei Arizal, there's a shame of Bitachon, a name of Bitachon. The name of Hashem, which is called the name of Bitachon, is connected to this pasuk, Bitchu b'Hashem ade ad. Trust in Hashem. Bitachon, bitchu. Bitchu b'Hashem ade ad. Ki b'ka Hashem tzor olamim. What is the name of bitachon? So turn to the top of page 2. My little arrow got moved. But the way that the Shem Bitachon emerges is when we go Lifnei Elokim. The letters before Elokim. Meaning Hashem wanted to create the world, Bereshis Bara Elokim. But Hashem scaled back a little bit on the Elokim in order to allow us to exist. In order to allow us to not be overwhelmed. The letters before Elokim, this is found in the writings of the Arizal. This is connected to the concept, by the way, in Parshas Noach, I'll just be Merames, but Tishaches Haaretz Lifnei Elokim. But the world had been destroyed. Lifnei Elokim has to do with this. But if you go to the letters before Elokim, what letter comes before Aleph? There's no letter before Aleph. So Aleph remains an Aleph. What letter is before Lamed? Take a look at the top of page 2. Letter before Lamed is a Chaf. Letter before Hey is a Dalid. Letter before Yud is a Tes. Letter before Mem Sofit is the regular Mem. This Shem, Aleph, Chaf, Dalid, Tes, Mem, is a Kabbalistic name of God that we call the Shem Bitachon. The gematria of those letters is 74. That's what the pasuk means. Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad. Trust in Hashem until ad. Ad is 74. So bitchu b'Hashem adei ad. Believe in Hashem adei ad until the aleph, until the ayin dalet, 74. Until this name of Hashem, the shem of bitachon, emerges in your life. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be a doeg. Don't be a warrior. Everything's going to be okay. You don't have to feel like your life is a tower that's flying in the sky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding you. That's why you feel like you're in the air. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beneath you. Hashem is lifting you up. Don't have that false sense of security when you feel like your feet are on the ground. When your feet are not on the ground, have bitachon. Bitchu b'Hashem, have bitachon Hashem ade ad. Ad, ayin dalet, 74. We need this a lot in our times. That's why in Shema you have a big ayin and a big dalet. Right? When we're mekabel ol malchus shemayim, you're saying, I have bitachon, I believe in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The time period that we're living in is called the ikvus of the Mashiach, Rosh Hashanah, ayin dalet. We're living in a time where we need to solidify this reality. But the Sfarim also point out that the gematria of 74 is the gematria of Lamed. Lamed Mem Dalet. Lamed is 74. Which means that the letter Lamed is also, it's a letter of Bitachon. So therefore, when the Af comes to get you, when the Nachash comes to get you, and the Nachash says to you, Af ki Amar Elokim, or when Haman Arasha comes to get you, and Haman says, Af lo evia Esther Amalkim Amalech Lemishra, dot, b'chol zeinenu shavu li amana kill Mordechai and the Jewish people, whenever the enemies use Af, the way to defuse it is to insert a Lamed, is to turn it into Aleph, not only through the Lamed of Limud Torah, but the Lamed of Bitachon. And that's what it means. Hashem says, Af tikon tevel, Af tikon tevel, Baal timot. But if you have the Beis of Bitachon and the Lamed of Bitachon, then everything's going to be okay. Then you're going to be protected and everything's going to be fine. It's an amazing thing that we see in Megillas Esther with the Ben Ish Chai and one other tzaddik, Rav Chaim Pelagi's son, Rav Avram Pelagi, point out. It says in the Megillah that when Haman cast his lottery in source number 10, the pasuk says that Haman cast the lottery, he built poor hua goral lifnei Haman. That the lottery was cast lifnei Haman. Lifnei Haman. Says the Ben Ish Chai in source number 12, in his Keren Yoshua on Megillas Esther, and Rav Avram Falaji, the son of Rav Chaim Falaji, the great Svardi Chacham, says a similar thing in his Sefer on Megillas Esther. What are the letters before Haman? Lifnei Haman. What's the letter before Haman? The letter before Hey is a Dalet. The letter before Mem is a Lamed. And the letter before Nun is a Mem, which is what? Lamed. Lifnei Haman, the letters before Haman are Lamed, Mem, Dalet. Lamed. 74. Bitachon. The Shem Bitachon. And that's why when the Megillah turns, when the story turns, says Rav Avin Falaji in source number 11, V'amelech Sham Miginas Bisan, and he sees that Haman is no Felalamita, he's falling on top of Esther. And the king gets so angry. Upenei Haman Chafu. Upenei, what do you mean, Penei Haman? The face of Haman was ashamed, right? Penei Haman means what? The letters before Haman. The Pnei Haman, the letters that precede Hey Mem Nun, is Lamed Mem Dalid. That means when a Jew has Bitachon, you overturn Haman. And again, that's what the P.S. Esther is saying. If you want to grow, if you want to move forward, if you want to re-accept the Torah in your life the way the Jews re-accepted the Torah in Purim, you have to be a person of Bitachon. You have to have the courage in Ruchnius to take the next step. And to not be afraid what people are going to say. Is it really going to work out? Am I going to fall back down? What's the point of trying? A person has to inject Lamed into the Af. Af, Tikkun Teva, we're living in a world of Af. You have to inject Lamed into it in order to sustain yourself. Okay? One final point. The Mashpia is going to be here probably in 2 minutes. We know the very famous Gemara in Maseches Yoma. We spoke about it once before. On the Pasuk in Mishlei. Da'aga b'lev ish yashchena. When a person has worries in his heart, he should what? Suppress it. Divert it. Yashchena. He should push it away. However, the Gemara flips it on its head. And the Gemara says, at least according to one man, the Amar, Chad Amar, not Yashchena, but what? Yisichena la'achirim. Not Yashchena, push away your worries. Talk it out. Find a friend to talk it out with. Siach. Talk it out with someone. Talk it out with someone. Who should you talk it out with? Achirim, someone else. Ah, but the Gemara tells us in Maseches Horios that one time Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim got themselves into big trouble. And they got kicked out of the Beis Medrash. But they were such great rabbis that they still needed them to teach Torah. So they would throw Shilas out the window of the Beis Medrash, Horios Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and then Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nassim would throw their answers back in. But they didn't want to quote the Torah teachings in their names because they were in big trouble. So they said, you know what, from this point forward, we're going to call Rabbi Meir Achirim. Rabbi Meir's nickname is Achirim. So therefore, what does the Pasuk say? Take a look. Da'aga, believe ish. If a person has da'aga, if you're missing the beis of bitachon, if you feel that your life is shaky, and you need someone to be mechazik you, what should you do? Yasichena la'achirim. Talk it out with Rabbi Meir. Get strength from the one who's known as Achirim. That's what the Svarim say. Get strength from the one who's known as Achirim. Turn to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir will be your friend. Who does Rabbi Meir come from? Rabbi Meir comes from the world of Haman. Rabbi Meir is a tikkun of the world of Haman. How do you see that? Because when Yaakov goes to fight against Esav, and he says, Hatzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. The Baal Turim says, Hatzileini na miyad is Rashi Tevos Haman. And Rashi tells us that Rabbi Meir was very afraid. What was Rabbi Meir afraid of? Says Rashi on Chumash, Rabbi Meir was afraid what? Maybe, sorry, that Yaakov Avinu was afraid what? Maybe I'll be killed when I fight against Esav, and maybe I will kill Achirim, maybe I'll kill others. What was he really afraid of? That's why my Kadoshim point out that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that if I kill Esav, I'm going to kill Rabbi Meir. Because the Gemara in Gittin says that Rabbi Meir came from that world of Esav, the world of Amalek. Rabbi Meir is a tikkun for that whole world. Of Haman, of Amalek. Haman who tries to get the Jews to be so nervous and so afraid and don't have any belief that they could turn things around. And yet, Daiga believe Ish, turn to Rabbi Meir. Turn to Rabbi Meir. Remember the letters Lifnei Haman, Lamed Mem Dalet. Remember the Shem Bitachon, Bitchu Bashem Adead. Inject a Lamed into Af that Haman wants to use to destroy us, and then he could save yourself. And therefore we see an amazing thing. How much of the Megillah do you need to read to fulfill your obligation? The Rambam Paskins, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, in Source 15, Amr Bichel Bo Amr Bicham Bar Guria, Amr Rav, Halacha Kedivaya Omer Kula. The Halacha is, like the opinion, there's four opinions in the Gemara. How much of the Megillah do you need, four opinions in Tanaim? How much of the Megillah do you need to read to fulfill your obligation? The most extreme position is that you have to read the whole Megillah. Whose opinion is that? Source 14, Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. Rabbi Meir is the one who says you have to read the whole Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda says, just read from Ish Yehudi. Rabbi Yossi says, Me'achar Dvar Me'ela. The Gemara brings a fourth sheet of Rishon Bar Yochai. We paskin like Rabbi Meir, they have to read the whole Megillah. Isn't that unusual? What's the halacha machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda? Who do we paskin like? Rabbi Yehuda. It's called Gadol and Chas. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why, when it comes to Kriyas Megillah, do we paskin like Rabbi Meir? Because again, part of the victory over the Af of Haman, part of the way we conquer the worry that we have, the Daiga, B'lev Ish, Yasichena La'achirim. We turn to who? The one who's known as Achirim. We turn to Rabbi Meir.
They say, Rabbi Meir, give us perspective. Give us the chizik that things are going to be okay. And Rabbi Meir says, read the whole Megillah. Rabbi Meir says, read the whole Megillah. Can't we just start from Ish Yehudi? Can't we start from Ish Yehudi? Do I have to read about the bizyonos that Klal Yisrael went to such a party? With Arayos and with Mahalos Asuros. The Rabbi Meir says, read the whole Megillah, read the whole thing. Rabbi Meir says, read the entire thing. And that's the halacha. We don't usually pasuk like Rabbi Meir. We don't usually pasuk like Rabbi Meir. But daigu believe ish, yasichad ala acherim. Acherim is Rabbi Meir. If you're worried, if you feel, I can't, how am I going to start over after such a party? I lost my emunah, I lost my bitachon, I lost my beis, I lost my lamed. Start over. Read the Megillah from the beginning. And realize that it's possible for a Jew to have bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch. So again, this is what the Piazetzin are saying. If you want to grow, the person wants to go from one madriga to the next. You have to what? You have to let go of the daigos. There's nothing so self-conscious about it, so worried about it. And again, that's all of Avodah Purim. Let go a little bit. Just allow yourself to be bigger than yourself. And you're going to come crashing down. He says you're going to come. The next time you'll be able to get to that level, hopefully more easily. And Emir Tashem, the next time that a person rises up to that level, he'll be able to uphold that level. It'll become an essential part of his Avodah Hashem, and not just some madrega that's, again, like this Lashon that we saw in the Gemara, like this Migdal that's Poreach Ba'avir. Again, the Migdal that's Poreach Ba'avir is the letter Lam, according to Rashi and Chagiga. And again, Doeg's the one who says, I have a lot of Shailas on the Lam. But Yid doesn't have Shailas. Yid has Bitachon. He believes in himself, he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's able to lift himself up to a higher madrega. Shkoyach.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
It's the Veitz Nevov. Yeah.